The last thing I want to talk to you about is what the patient said to us about participation in clinical trials, because it was quite interesting. And again, I think that maybe the types of people who came into this survey might have been a little bit more proactive than the, quote, average patient. So I don't know that these numbers exactly apply, but there are a couple of interesting things. The first thing is that most of these patients did not get information about participating in clinical trials. Of course, they had listened to our audio program where we talked about what clinical trials were. They might not have heard about it before, but of the people who didn't get information, 80% said, I would have liked to have information about that. Any thoughts about that?
It underscores the fact that the vast majority of patients are not apprised of clinical trials as an option. Were you offered participation in a clinical trial as part of your treatment? 60% said no. And I'm sure this is a survey of individuals, physicians, who are very much conversant with clinical trials. So the vast majority still are not offered clinical trials, or not offered the option or information about existing clinical trials.
Do you think that's something that patients should be proactive about and say, are you participating in trials? Are there any that I might enter?
I think they should be, but I think we also have to counter that by realizing that, you know, the great hope that there would be resources available to increase the participation of individuals in clinical trials as a result of initiatives from the NCI has really taken an unfortunate turn. Clinical trials are time-consuming. I think that medical oncologists who participate in clinical trials have to do so with an altruistic intent, believing that the state of the art is going to be benefited by their participation. And we're really not providing the resources and the support to make that something that the medical oncologist can do in a practical fashion. The amount of effort, time, paperwork, the logistic labyrinth that's required to participate in clinical trials, which is ever increasing, and a shrinking budget makes this a very daunting task. So, I mean, do we blame the medical oncologist that 60% weren't given information relative to clinical trials? I certainly don't. I think that the great hope that clinical trials would be incorporated as a standard as a result of the initiatives of the NCI just has not occurred.
You know, the other thing that we talk about in the education program about clinical research is the fact that certainly we're trying to move the field forward. We're trying to help future patients. We know that's what's motivating a lot of patients to participate. But there's also the possibility that a patient might end up receiving a therapy that actually could be helpful specifically to them. Is the most recent dramatic example that the adjuvant trastuzumab studies that fortunately turned out to be very positive in breast cancer. And yet these women who participate in the study not only help move the field forward, but many of them actually ended up avoiding having cancer relapse as a result of being in that trial. And certainly we can't promise that to patients, but that is an opportunity, including in colorectal cancer.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's not something that we should come to expect. I mean, it raises enormous hopes, and I think that the trastuzumabs are few and far between. What we can say to patients, I think, in a very candid way, is if they participate in a clinical trial, they will be getting the highest standard of care, a highest standard of care which is mandated prospectively by the protocol document. And I sincerely believe that the level of care within a clinical trial is better than the average level of care that is delivered outside a clinical trial. And certainly that's one thing we can assure a patient of. And also the fact that they're participating in a clinical trial will further the state of the art, even if we have an intervention that is considerably less of a hurrah than trastuzumab, as undoubtedly most of them will be.
There was one other thing that we saw in terms of research that I thought was really interesting, which was of the patients who were offered participation in clinical trials, only a fraction actually decided to move forward with participation, which I guess brings up this whole issue of really informing the patient and allowing them to decide whether they really want to be in the study.
Precisely. I mean, what concerns me is that 60% weren't even given the opportunity to discuss clinical trials or weren't given information relative to clinical trials. You have to respect the wishes of the patient. If the patient says, no, I don't think this clinical trial is for me, I'm not comfortable with the fact that my therapy is going to be decided at random, you can try and inform that patient that therapy selected at random isn't necessarily, you know, therapy that's going to put them at a disadvantage, quite the contrary. But at the end, you have to respect the wishes of the individual.
And when you say random, you're talking about the very common type of trial where there'll be two different therapies, maybe very similar, and the patient will be, quote, randomized to one of the two sort of by the computer.
Precisely. And some patients are just not comfortable with that, to say, I want the doctor to select. And, you know, as much as you can say that from a scientific process, there's bias involved and so on and so forth, you still have to respect the patient's wishes that they're not comfortable with that. Then there are going to be a proportion of patients who are not going to be. On the other hand, I would like to see them arrive at that conclusion after being informed of the opportunity of clinical trials rather than not being given the opportunity to participate. I mean, there's one anecdote that I will always remember. We had a panel of individuals, of patients who'd participated in NSABP trials, and we asked them, why did you participate? And one individual who was a nurse came out with something that was poignant. And she said, you know, the concern that I've heard expressed over and over about therapy being selected at random. She said, before I heard about NSABP protocol, I went to 6 medical oncologists and got 6 different recommendations for the treatment of my disease. She says, here I see the document. It's limited to 2 or 3 options. She says, you want random, you go out there and you poll 8 or 9 medical oncologists and you'll see what random is.
And that's exactly what we see in our patterns of care studies. We present typical situations in almost any tumor, I mean, some more than others. And just as you say, you'll find 25% of oncologists to do one thing, 25%. And so theoretically, you go to 4 people, you have 1 in 4 chance you're going to hit one of those 4 things. I think we should point out that a lot of times the difference between what's being recommended is not necessarily huge, although sometimes it is, but nuances that, again, the trials are trying to tease apart.
Right, and all these recommended therapies are all based on information, and they're all therapies that I think are effective, and yet they differ from one oncologist to the next.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to all the patients who participated in this program and the investigators who assisted us, as well as Dr. Walmark. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special report on patient perspectives in adjuvant systemic therapy of early colorectal cancer.